So my Jesus, I thank you that we can come together this morning, and as we just sharing our stories, I thank you, Father, that you are the God of more than enough, that you are our Father who sustains us, who provides for us, who leads us, who guides us. You will never leave us nor forsake us. You are our constant. You are our firm foundation. You are the reason why we can get up in the morning and we can have a smile on our faces. And so I want to thank you for that, Jesus. And I thank you for the reminder to me this morning, which was a simple thing of look up. Fix your eyes on me, the author, the perfecter of your faith. And so, Jesus, I pray that as we just go through this chapter in this book, that we would be able to lift up our eyes and focus on our King, knowing that he is the author. He's the one that's written the book. He's the one that's created this incredible world with all of its variety. I want to thank you that you are also the perfecter, that you are the completer, that you will bring something to fruition, that we will see fruit for our labor, that we will not be left alone. And so, Jesus, I pray that you would lead us through this time of teaching and that your presence would be with us and it would be tangible. In Jesus' name, amen. Cool. So the last chapter that we finished with was Jesus, our example of joy. And we then left it because the next time that we met, we were all at Kalkiaville, and we looked at that thing of how if we wear the Jesus lens, we can have a fresh, new perspective on life. And we didn't record that, sadly, because it was, I think, just an incredible thing of just wearing that lens of Jesus.
Did you make notes for yourself, Susie? You could go.
Yeah, I did make notes, yeah.
Because I've been looking for it, because it looks so nice.
Yes, you didn't, you weren't there, hey.
No, I didn't have anybody for Ethan.
I know. You know, the summary of it is simply this. Because I had the cataract surgery, they did it 1 week, and then they did the right eye the second week. So when you have that surgery, you are now looking through two different eyes because this eye now has a new lens with perfect perspective, and this eye is still your old eye. That, for example, when I would see color, I would realize, wow, that is actually blue, whereas with my old cataract eye, it was this sort of dull green. And the point to it was that when we allow that Jesus lens, his perspective, his love, an understanding of who he is, when we wear that lens on our spiritual eyes, life looks so different. And so, in a sense, what we're doing today is looking at that same thing of how we could live in the first or second realm, but how we need to live in the third realm, which is really just another way of saying we need the Holy Spirit's presence. We need to live with his presence constantly filling us and saturating us so that we can wear that perfect Jesus lens, because life looks different, you know. Last night, I must admit, it's been tough. We've seen a lot of breakthrough in this area of deliverance, of praying for people, and seeing massive change in their lives. But obviously, the demonic's not happy with that, and so we're getting a lot of opposition from various sources and. Yeah, sometimes there's just a lot of things, and I was just like frustrated, you know, having one of those moments when we're just looking at the belly and we're doing the belly gazing, and it's the woe is me, and Don't these people realize that I've got a full-time job and I can't just always be everywhere and I can't be doing everything? And I was having a meltdown. And as I just sat with my father this morning, I could just take it to him and say, Jesus, thank you that you can give us a new, fresh perspective in the morning. And that it doesn't matter what we face, we can get through it, you know? And we can do all things, you know? It is important to set healthy boundaries and to not try and be everybody's savior. So that I've got to work on. But, yeah. So, the three realms. Summary, in terms of what is intercession, it's praying his heart. It's capturing the heartbeat of heaven and declaring and praying that into the world. It's true agreement with heaven. Another way of saying it is that it's hearing the voice of God for a person, for a people, for a place, and then praying that into that situation. That's what intercession is. So Benny, the author of this book, just says, when I began this journey into intercession, I didn't say, okay, I'm going to be an intercessor now. Instead, I simply fell into the third realm of heaven, and I fell madly in love with the Holy Spirit. I touched a realm that I had never experienced before. I am now so very addicted to his presence, and his realm is where I always want to dwell. And that's basically the summary of this chapter. So she's got some lovely stories that I'm not going to look at. I'm going to just go straight into her explanation as to the different realms. So if you want to follow Ursula, it's page 92. So she speaks about these different realms, and as we know, Paul spoke about the third heaven, that he was taken up into the third heaven. So if there's a third heaven, it would mean that there would be a first and a second. I'm still doing research into this because I want to understand, were there Jewish writings around this? Is there more to it? I believe that there's always more. And I have this wonderful husband who does a lot of the research for me. And he is checking out the different writings, the apocryphal writings, and he says that it speaks of seven heavens, but it's theologically not very sound. But anyway, I'm checking into it. But first realm is this physical realm, what we can see. That's the first realm. It's the flesh and blood. It's this physical earth and the atmosphere above us. Second realm is essentially, hello darling, how you doing? Good to see you. Second realm is, if you need a scripture, it's Revelation 14 verse 6. And it's the New American Standard version says this, and I saw another angel flying in mid heaven. Okay, it speaks about a middle earth. It sounds like Lord of the Rings. Mid heaven, having an eternal gospel to preach to those who live on the earth and to every nation and tribe and tongue and people. So that's the scripture. It's mesos, meaning middle or second. And that's essentially, it speaks about how the angel was flying in mid heaven. So we know it's where there is an angelic realm and a demonic realm. So we know that this demonic realm is essentially fallen angels, and that is where we know that warfare happens. So if you look at the book of Daniel, I know that I brought teaching on this before, but you look at Daniel, he's praying, he's been fasting, he needs an answer to this incredible vision that he had, but the angel, the messenger angel that is bringing an answer to him, gets caught in this second realm, and there's a battle that happens between the messenger angel and the spirit prince of Persia. So we know that these spirits are territorial. They control regions and areas and towns, and this was the spirit prince of Persia. And so eventually that angel needs help from, it was the archangel Michael, who is a warrior angel. And it speaks very clearly of that in the book of Daniel, and that reference is Daniel 10 verse 13, if you want to check that. The spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. This was the angel saying this. So we know that there is a second realm or a second heaven. And then there is the third heaven. And that scripture is 2 Corinthians 12 verse 2, where Paul is speaking and he says that he wasn't sure if he was in his body or out of his body. He doesn't know. God knows. But he was caught up to the third heaven. Okay, and that third heaven, the description of it in I think this is the Greek, not the Hebrew, is Uranus. Is that the Greek or the Hebrew? O-U-R-A-N-U-S, and Uranus means the place where God dwells, heaven. Okay, so we know that there's a third heaven, and of course he was caught up into this realm where there were things that he wasn't permitted to speak about. But what is that third realm all about? What is heaven all about? It's a place of peace. It's the place of his presence. It's the place where there is continual worship to God. There's great activity. There is joy, incredible peace. And as she says, if only we would operate more from that place of his presence, she would say, the place of the third realm, I simply say the place of his presence. If we would only react to things from that place, if we would only minister more from that place, instead of always trying to, often I try and draw from my the first realm, I'm so exhausted, I'm like, oh Jesus, I can't do this. And he's saying, draw from my presence, and then you can do it. You know? So another scripture that we can refer to in this is Ephesians 2 verse 6, that says that God has raised us up together and made us sit in that heavenly realm, that heavenly place in Christ Jesus. So that scripture speaks about how we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. So that should be our position. We're seated with Christ in heavenly places. Seated, giving us a beautiful picture of when I'm seated, I'm at rest. We minister from that place of the Sabbath rest, that place of resting in him. Yes, we're working hard, but we're doing it from a place of peace and of his presence. If we do that, all will be well. When we go to that, when it's all about my flesh, and it's about my anger, and it's about my frustration, and it's about my self-pity, first realm thinking, generally not a happy place, and that's essentially what this chapter is about, the three realms. So she says that so often the problem with intercessors, because so often intercessors, and I believe that we are all called to intercession, but many intercessors will have this ability to see into the second realm, and they get stuck there. And she cautions against that. So it's this thing of, well, what is the devil doing? What's happening there? And she just says, our emphasis, our sight should be on what is God doing. That should be the key thing. What is God doing? She says this, I've discovered that many intercessors do not live out of a place of joy because they get stuck in the first or the second realm. So obviously, if you're stuck in the first realm, you're going to be led or preoccupied with this, with a thing of logic and reason. Or your prayers are going to be those standard grocery list prayers. Oh Lord, I pray for this person today. Help this person in their time of need. It's going to be very much a grocery list of prayers. I don't want to pray those prayers. God's going to give me a picture of a person. I'm going to start interceding for that person. Lord, this young woman, you see what she is facing. She needs to do this, this, and this. God, give her strength. Give her ability. God might then give me a download into my spirit of a word that she needs to receive. I'll then, in obedience, because I'm not going to hold on to that word, in obedience, I'm going to release it. I'm going to send her. It'll take me 1 minute. A word of encouragement. I've been praying for you this morning. This is the word that God gave me. And then I pray that prophetic declaration over her, and I release hope, courage, confidence, whatever it is. That's what true intercession is. You're not stuck on the first realm. You're hearing what God's saying from that third realm. And then, as she says, sometimes you get intercessors who get stuck in the second realm. This realm is the dark and demonic realm, which produces hopelessness, doom, and fear. It can be. When intercessors choose to pray from these realms, they end up praying from a defensive place. And I liked what she said with that. Your prayers are always defensive. You're always praying from a human understanding. Your focus is so much on the demonic and what Satan's doing, and it's not on, what are you saying, Lord Jesus? And what I've found is so often when people get too obsessed with the second realm, they start to almost go into a place of fear. And I've got to say to them, who are you looking at right now? Take your eyes off that and fix your eyes on Jesus. He is stronger. He is the one that will bring deliverance to this person. He is the one that will lead us with wisdom. He will give us a word of knowledge so that we would know how to pray for that person. Don't get stuck in that realm. So she gives a beautiful story. And she talks about how they live in Northern California. And there's a beautiful mountain there called Mount Shasta. And I'm the type of person that I love to explore places in the world. I might not get there, but I'm going to explore it on Google Earth. I check out the weather in that area. I want to see exactly where this is. So I haven't been there physically, but I've been there on Google Earth. And there's a place that is called Panther's Meadow. And she says that, I'm going to read it to you. Many people believe that the mountain carries power and they consider it a high place of worship. As we know, most mountains, any hills are, okay, that's the high place, we go and pray there. So, you know, all types are going to go and pray there, as we know from our beloved mountain where we get our people constantly beating their drums and speaking curses over hearties. So there is a place on this mountain that is called Panther's Meadows. And there is a spring there that bubbles up out of the ground, and it's the headwaters of one of our rivers. Unfortunately, this place is used for ungodly practices. So many years ago, there was a man who went up to the meadow, and he had a visitation from obviously a demonic spirit, and it was in the form of a black panther, and out of this vision came the name of the meadow and an international cult. So So it seems as if this is the place that all of the New Ages and Buddhists and all the rest of it will go to find more spiritual energy and all the rest of it. Now, that doesn't intimidate her in any way, which is the way to go. So she often will take up teams of people to go and worship and pray. And remember that she lives in that region. She has spiritual authority for that region. That's where God has called her to. So she says, I don't want to see it as a place where others worship these other gods. I want to make it a place where I'm going to worship my God, and I'm going to bring something of his presence into that place. So the one time she took up a group of 150 people, and they went up to take communion, to pray, and to blow the shofar. So we spent some time walking around the meadow praying. Then we gathered around at the spring. We took communion together. Her friend blew the shofar. And then they all shouted praise to God. Beautiful. And we thought that we were the only ones on that mountain that day, but we were wrong. As we all left the meadow and began to walk out, a few of us walked down the lower trail. And as we walked out, we passed a tree, and we could hear someone hissing. All of a sudden, a young man jumped out from under the tree and ran as fast as he could past us and down the meadow, hissing literally at them, you know. He was not happy with their presence. And no sooner did this happen that we came upon a lady sitting lotus style, you know, the meditation form, trying to channel. When they channel, they use that shh, shh, shh thing, repeating it slowly and softly. That's how they should be doing it. It should be shh, that, calm. But she says, one of my friends who was with us had used this practice before she got saved, so she knew what was going on. But this lady's airspace had been so disrupted by our prayers that she was yelling her shh, shh, shh. My friend looked at me and said, well, she won't be getting anywhere today. Oh, to stop the plans of the devil. What a great day. Okay. And she says, I love this story because it's a great example of how, as intercessors, we went to pray at a place that was known for its demonic activity, but we just focused on God. We were not distracted by the schemes of the devil. All we did was look to God, and we let him do the rest. Beautiful. So she looks at Matthew 4, which is that beautiful account of where Jesus, who is our ultimate example of how to deal with the enemy, Jesus faces the devil after fasting for 40 days. And we need to follow his example. And I was encouraging my husband this morning in this. The devil kept trying to bring Jesus into a dialogue about Jesus' identity, and Jesus never went there. The devil was looking for just a little agreement, but Jesus was completely on top of that conversation. He never once gave the devil fuel for his madness. Satan kept on saying, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. If you are the Son of God, you know, just jump off this building and the angels will catch you. He kept on going to Jesus' identity. And Jesus never once defended his identity. It wasn't a question for him. And, you know, this morning I was encouraging my husband because he's been facing a lot of opposition. And it's all around essentially who he is, his identity. You are a good man. You are a helpful man. You are someone who is there for people. But this is being attacked. And I just said, Mull, don't even go there. Don't even try and defend your innocence or who you are. It's not worth it. You know who you are. Don't, in a sense, fall for that trick of the enemy, because he's going to trip you up, you know. So she just said Jesus had no time for that first realm thinking. Jesus didn't even address the identity part of the question, which was if you are the Son of God. He brought the situation right into a heavenly perspective. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. He just threw scripture back at him. Beautiful. Jesus was completely human while being completely God. He chose this because he wanted to be the perfect example to us. Jesus didn't walk this earth. He was fully God, and yet he was fully a man. And he was doing things from a perspective of, I am a man. Because he wanted to show to Michelle how she could live this life. So she says, being focused on the first and second realms brings us away from that heavenly realm and keeps us focused on the devil or those things in life that trouble us. When we pray and prophesy out of those first two realms, we are not praying according to heaven. Most of the time, we are praying out of fear. Prayers that are fear-based are not prayers that will produce a heavenly answer. And that is so key. And then she just talks about how she does this thing of when she goes into an area, she'll do some historical research of the area. She might take a team of people to go and pray, and they'll go and pray with the local pastor for whatever it is that that area is facing. And she'll do her research. But she said, sometimes I found that I was getting too almost obsessed with the historical research and what had happened in that place that I was getting depressed. I was getting down. And I saw it with Lesotho. You know, we went to Lesotho recently. And I'm trying to understand, okay, God, why does Maseru look like this? I mean, it's a real mess. It's a mess. Why? And so I'm looking at the history. I'm trying to understand the people, the nation. What have they faced? What has this region faced? But if you look too intensely at it, you can become like overwhelmed by it, you know? And so whenever that happens, she would realize, okay, hold on. I'm focusing too much on this first realm. Getting too much information can distract us from what we're supposed to be doing. So I began getting just enough information to be an informed intercessor, but not so much that it overwhelms me. And so that's why I always say to people, it's good that we get a bit of the news. I like to read my Daily Maverick. I like to listen to the headline news maybe once a day. That's it. I want to be informed because I want to know what our nation is facing so that I can pray. But I do not let that radio, whatever I'm reading, overwhelm me with negativity, because then my thinking is completely first realm. As she says, I cannot afford to be impressed with the devil. And I'm going to just conclude with Psalm 73. I read this over someone this morning, and it's a beautiful example of how we can fixate on the first realm or the second realm instead of being lifted into that place of his presence. So it's a psalm written by Asaph. I think he was, I think he was a musician, I'm not sure. But he speaks in verse 2. It's a real belly-gazing moment. But as for me, I almost lost my footing. My feet were slipping, and I was almost gone. For I envied the proud when I saw them prosper despite their wickedness. And he goes into I don't know, it must be at least 15 verses about how these proud people would get away with things, and they scoff, and they speak evil, and he's just focused completely on the first realm. Finally, in verse 17, some redemption comes, because you literally want to, like, you know, do something to yourself when you start to read too much of this. Finally, in verse 17, it says, "Then I went into your sanctuary, O God." Then I went into that heavenly realm, into your presence, and I got perspective. In verse 21, I realized that my heart was bitter and I was all torn up inside. I was so foolish and ignorant. I must have seemed like a senseless animal to you. So often I can see a person, they are acting like a senseless animal. There's no logic, there's no reason. It's so silly what they're doing. Yet I still belong to you. You hold my right hand. Thank you, Jesus. It doesn't matter how low I've gone, how bad my thought life has become. Yet I still belong to you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, leading me to a glorious destiny. Whom have I in heaven but you? I desire you more than anything on earth. My health may fail and my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. But as for me, how good it is to be near God. I have made the Sovereign Lord my shelter, and I will tell everyone about the wonderful things you do. Isn't it beautiful? Yeah. Heavenly perspective. And as she says, her husband, Bill, always has this term, look up before you look down. Go to a place of encouragement. Go to scripture. Fuel yourself with his word before you go out into the day. Before you have to deal with that difficult situation. Look up before you look down. Beautiful statement. If we are looking up, we will see it the way God sees it. And God has an answer for everything. Beautiful.